Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma, Daf Ayin Beis, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, the last line. Yesterday, our Mishnah had taught us about the different begodim that the Kohen Gadol wore and that the Kohen Hedjut wore. And then the Gemara had quoted a brisa that taught us that how many strands, every thread that was used in the different begodim were made up of. And then the Gemara began identifying each one of these garments and talking about how many strands there were and how we know those numbers. So what we're up to now is discussing the mill. The mill is one of the garments that the Kohen Gadol wore, and the Mishnah said that the mill was made up of, the Braisa said that the mill was made up of Shnei Maser, made up of 12 threads, and the question is Menolam, from where do we know? Says the Gemara Diksiv, the Pasuk says, Vasisa es mi'il ho'efed klil tcheles. The Torah, in describing the mill, says it's made out of klil, and Rashi says klil is a gadil. A gadil means two. So if it says klil tchelis, v'yav tchelis tchelis m'praichis, then we learn exeris shava from praichis, ma'la halon shisha, just like by the praichis, as we explained, and we'll explain again, it was made out of six. So if klil means double, double six is 12. Yalav tchelis tchelis m'praichis, we learn tchelis m'praichis, ma'la halon shisha, just like there was six, afkan shisha, here too was six, 6 plus 6 equal 12. So actually, as the Mepharshim say, yesterday when the Gemara attempted to learn something from the Praichus, the Gemara asked the question, how could you learn a garment, how could you learn a beged from the Praichus? Praichus is a separator, it's like a mechitza, and this is a garment. So the Mepharshim say the Gemara could have asked that question. The Gemara asks a different question. It's also interesting to point out that the Gzer Shavi here is somewhat different than the way we learned the Gzer Shavi regarding the balls that were worn on the bottom of the mill. There we were comparing the balls, as we explained, to the Avnet, or we learned it from the Praichus, and we learned the number 24, which is a total number. Here we're learning, not a total number, we're learning about each Tchelis. We're talking about the specific material at hand. Why do we learn in different ways? So Mepharshim say it matters what the word that we're using for Gzeirah Shavah is. If we're using the word Mashar, as we did in the previous year, Mashar refers to the entire garment. So it refers to a total. Here we're speaking about Tchelis. Tchelis is not speaking to the whole garment. It's speaking to the specific material, so we speak about each strand individually, each thread really individually. Ask the Gemara that instead of learning the M'il, from the Praichus, why don't we learn it from Nalef Mishulav Mirimoinov? Why don't we learn it from the balls that we just referred that were on the bottom of the mill? And say, Mala Halenshman, as we proved at the end of yesterday's shiur, that every one of those balls was made out of three materials, as the Pasuk says, Tchelis Agomen V'Tala Shani, and we learned that eight threads of each were used. So we should learn, similarly, that eight threads of Tchelis were used, and then Klil will double it to 16. Why do I use the number 6? Answers the Gemara, Don and Kli Mikli, we prefer to learn the Me'il, which is a vessel, it's a beged, from the Praichus, Vein Don and Kli Mitachshikli, versus learning the Me'il from just something which is used as an ornamentation. The balls on the bottom of the mill were just there for decorative purposes. So the Mepharshim immediately ask, at the end of yesterday's shiur, we said that the Praichus are not considered a keli. The Praichus are considered an oihel. And all of a sudden now we're saying that the Praichus are being considered a keli. So what is it? So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is that everything is relative. Yesterday when we were comparing the Praichus to another beged, so of course, another beged is more of a keli than the Praichus are. In today's shiur, we're comparing the Praichus to the balls. Given the option, what is the Praichus? Is it a what is more of a keli, the proiches or the balls on the bottom of the mill, will prefer to say that the proiches is a keli. That's one way of answering the question. Another way of answering the question is that the proiches was used somewhat as a keli, because the halacha was that when they traveled, when the Mishkan traveled, and they had to wrap up the Aron, what was it wrapped up in? It was wrapped in the proiches. So the proiches wasn't just a wall, it wasn't just a separator between the Kodesh and Kodosh and Kodesh and Kodoshim, it actually served as a utensil to keep the Aron in. That's why it's considered a keli. Ask the Gemara, fine. The proiches is considered more of a keli than the balls are. And that's why you prefer to learn, you're saying you prefer to learn the mill from the proiches versus from these balls. But ask the Gemara, Adarab, Don and Gufa Megufoy, Vein Don and Gufa Me'alma. Wouldn't you prefer to learn the mill from the balls that are on the bottom of that mill? They're all one garment, versus learning it from the proiches that have no connection? Says the Gemara, you're right. So how do we know, going back to the beginning of the shir, that each thread from the tchelis was made out of six? Hanedemrinin, that's what we learned yesterday, Brisa. The Brisa says, l'shab godim, shalei nem ben sheish, that we learned that the Torah uses the word sheish an extra time to teach us that even the godim, even certain garments where the Torah doesn't use explicitly the word sheish, was still made out of six strands. Continues the Gemara, proiches, we said in that Brisa, was made out of esrim v'arba, was made out of 24. How do we know? Says the Gemara, Dal of the Shita Shita, the proiches was made out of four materials. We know, as we just said, that the standard is that each thread is made out of six. Six times four equal 24. It says the Gemara, Leidina v'leidina. On this there's no argument, there's no discussion. This is open and shut. Continues the Gemara. We learned Choshid v'Eifed were made out of Esrim v'Shmoyna, were made out of 28. Ask the Gemara, Nolan, how do we get to the number 28? Says the Gemara, Diksib, because the Pasuk says, Vasisa Choshim Mishpat, Masa Choshiv, the Torah describes how the Choshim should be made, Kemasa Eifet Hasena, Zov Tcheles V'Agomen, V'Tula Ashani, V'Sheish Maza. So we have four materials here. Tcheles, Agomen, just to touch, Tcheles means blue, Agomen means purple, Tula Ashani means red, and Sheish means linen. Arba, so we have these four materials. As we've been saying, each material is made out of six threads. Arba de shita shita. Each one is made out of six threads. So we have esrim v'arba. So we have 24. How do we get to 28? Says the Gemara Zov. We'll have four more thread of gold. Will be four. 24 plus four. Ha esrim tanya yet 28. Says the Gemara, why do we say that the gold was only four? Just like we say that all the other materials, it was four, it was six. So the gold, we should also say six. Why don't we say that the gold is also six? Answers the Gemara, Amar Achav Yaakov Amar Kra. The Pasuk in describing the gold says, V'kitzeitz psilim, you should cut the threads of gold. Psil, wherever you have the word psil, it means two. That's what Rashi learns. Psilim, when you cut two threads into two further pieces, so now harei kan dalet. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that the word psil means two. So if the Torah only was going to use the word psil, it would mean two. Now that the Torah didn't just write psil, but it added psilim, that gives you another two, that's how you get the four. The same result. Rashi has a different approach, how we know there were only four gold threads. Omakra, we have to put the gold into the tchelis, into the agomen, into the talah shayin. So the question is like this. Heichen navet, what do you want him to do? Navet abba, do you want the tray? Do you want to put two gold threads into each one of these four materials? Havle tamnya, so you'll have eight. So Tosfos says, so what's the problem with having eight? So we'll have eight. The Gemara says, so you'll have eight, and as if having eight is a problem. What's the problem? So Tosfos explains very beautifully. He says, the number six is the number that we've been using constantly in this whole sugya. He said, everything four times six, 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 shesh. The Gemara said yesterday, the Torah uses the word sheish so many times to speak about the number six. So the number six is a number I could get accustomed to. The number four is also a number that we can use. Why? Because in each one we put one. But if he says, Tysus, if you're going to start choosing numbers, you're going to say eight, why say eight? Say 100. Say 1,000. Why eight? And we have a rule, says Tysus, throughout Shas, tfastam rubalai tfasta. That whenever you have an option to say a lesser number or a greater number, we always go for the minimum. So that's why, if you're going to pick eight, we're going to start not having any reason eight over any other number, and that's why eight is not acceptable. So what do you want to do? Now, have a tamna. So what do you want? You want six. What's the mile of six? As we just explained, six is the standard number. But as says the Gemara, what would you do if you had six? You'd have nabetray the chad. What you end up having is you have four materials. So how do you divide six into four? You'll have four materials with two strands of gold. You'll have two materials with two strands of gold, and you have two materials with one strand of gold. But says the Gemara, the pasuk says v'sisa. You have to treat all the materials equally. Shei kolos yosef shavos. So the only way it could be achieved is by having four strands of gold, one thread in each one of the materials, which ends up with 28, six times four of each one of the four materials, plus one strand of gold featured material is 24 plus 24 equal 28. Says the Gemara, Amrav Chava, Amrav Yehuda, Hamakare Bigde Kahuna. If somebody rips the Bigde Kahuna, Loika, gets Malkus. Shenemar, Loya Kareya. The Pasuk says regarding the Mi'il, or Piv, Peace, the Pasuk quotes, just to read the Lashon of the Pasuk. The Lashon of the Pasuk is, Sofa Yilafiv, a border, a hem should be made around it, Masa Oirik Fisakra, it should be woven, Loy Yikareya, not to rip. So the Gemara says that you make a hem, a border, it shouldn't rip. Says the Gemara, who says that the Torah is teaching us that you're not allowed to rip the Godim? Perhaps what the Torah means to say is, Navad le sofa, we want you to make a border to hecha de lo yikareya, in order that it shouldn't rip. Which means, not that if someone rips the big de kahuna, he's over alive and gets malchus. The Torah doesn't want it to get ripped. So how do you prevent it? By making a border. Answers the Gemara, Miksiv shel lo yikareya. If what the Torah was telling us is make a border in order to avoid any tearing, the Torah said, Shelai Ukraine, in order that it shouldn't tear. The Torah doesn't use the word Shelai. The Torah uses the absolute Lai Ukraine. Don't rip it. So that means you're not allowed to tear it. Says the Gemara, another din. Vahabalazah. Hamaziach Choshin Mi'ala Eifid. If somebody disconnects the Choshin from the Eifid, Vamesa Badi Aaron, or if somebody takes off, there were poles on the side of the Aron, loiki he gets Malkus. Because the Torah says, lo yizach chosh me'al eifed, you're not allowed to separate them. And the Torah says, v'lo yisura. And don't remove the Bali Aron. Ask the Gemara the same question regarding the chosh and eifed. Maskler of Achba Yaakov, v'dimu ki kam rachmanu, maybe perhaps what the Torah meant to say was, chetkinu v'avdinu shapir, connect them well, kadesh lo yizach, in order that they shouldn't separate. Says, and the same thing with Shalai Yisur, put it on the poles properly, it shouldn't get connected. But not that if you actually do it, you're over alive. And it's talking about Miksev Shalai Yizach. Did the Torah say do it for the purpose that it shouldn't get disconnected? Did the Torah say do it for the purpose that it shouldn't separate? The Torah says, Lo Yizach, don't separate them. Lo Yisur, don't remove the Badei Aron. So, firstly, the Rishash asks a question. We learned a number of times that what were the wicks that were used in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash made out of? The Big Day Kahuna. What did they do? They used to cut them. So the question is, we said you're not allowed to cut the Big Day Kahuna. So Rishash answers that those Big Day Kahuna were Big Day Kahuna that were already non-usable. The Gemara that says here you're not allowed to cut Big Day Kahuna is when they're still usable as Big Day Kahuna. These Big Day Kahuna are no longer usable. similarly, would be the same to Barchoshen Eifed, the Rafa says. That if the Choshen and Eifed are no longer usable, then there's no Issa to separate them. In fact, there's two interesting machlokes in by the Choshen and Eifed. What would be the halacha if one separates them, but doesn't totally separate them? He disconnects them, but not totally. Will he be over the lav of Lo Yizach or not? And furthermore, there's another shayla, is the Isser of Lo Yizach only when the Kohen is wearing the Choshen and Eifed? Or the Issa of Loyizach even when it's in the closet. Machlokes Yishayim. But there's a very interesting Rambam in this Gemara. The Rambam says like this. Hamakaris al-Mil, if somebody rips the Mil, the Kol Big Day Kahuna Derech Hashchasa, or all Big Day Kahuna in a way, in a destructive way, like he gets Malkus. So there's a very big Machlokes how to understand the Rambam. It's clear that by all Big Day Kahuna, the Rambam is clearly teaching us that if they're ripped, the only time you're over the lav for ripping is when you did it derech hashchasa. But what will be the halacha by the mil? What does the Rambam hold by the mil? Does the Rambam hold that the mil has the same din as all Big Day Kahuna, and you're only chayiv if you do it in a destructive manner? Or is the mil different, and the mil you're always chayiv? Machlokes Mishnah Lamelech, and the Zeva Chagiga. The Sfas Emes has a proof from our Gemara that it refers to all Big Day Kuna, that all Big Day Kuna should be treated the same way. Because look at the Gemara. Our Gemara says, Amar Vihuda Hamakari Big Day Kuna. Our Gemara doesn't differentiate between the Mil and all other Big Day Kuna. Yes, the Torah chose to tell us the din, that you're not allowed to rip the Big Day Kuna by the Mil, but that doesn't mean that the Mil is different. All Big Day Kuna are to be treated the same way. The other Mefarshim will say that since the Torah singled out the Me'il is treated differently. Actually, those Mefarshim have a very nice Raya. Because there's a Pasuk in Parshas Re'ei. Pasuk says, Abi Ta'abdin is called Mekaymas Elu. We should destroy all the places of Adar Zara. We're not allowed to do that to God. So now the question is, that means anything that's holy doesn't mean God. You can't destroy God anyway. It means anything holy, you're not allowed to damage. It's important Allah to know. You're not allowed to damage something in a shul. So, maybe at the OU also. It's taka. So now the question is that, so why do we need a special pasuk for the mil? So if we're going to say that the mil yechayiv, even not derech hashchasa, so it works very well. The mil yechayiv, even not derech hashchasa, but sasakem Hashem lekechem is only derech hashchasa. But if you're going to say that the mil is also only derech hashchasa, so why do I need two psukim to teach us the same? Actually, Ein Yitzchak says the pshat is that you get two malchus. If somebody tears the mil or any beggar kuna derech hashchasa, they're two malchus. Rav Chaim Briska has a beautiful perspective on this Gemara that I'd like to add to. Chaim Briska says like this. He says, by the Me'il, or by the Choshen the Eifed, the only time you're chayiv for tearing it or separating it is if you do it derech hashchasa. Why? Because the Torah wants us to pay the proper respect to the Big Day Kahuna. Tearing them derech hashchasa is not treating them properly. However, says Rav Chaim, by the Oren with the Badim, let's say somebody removes the Badim, the poles of the Oren, not derech hashchasa, he just removes them. Says Reb Chaim, even if it's not derech hashchasa, yechayiv. So we need to understand, because why? So Reb Chaim says, because the Torah says that the way the Aron is supposed to look is the Aron with the poles. And if you undid that, you undid what the Torah wants. That it has nothing to do with disrespect. It has to do that you destroy, not destroy, because you didn't do derech hashchasa. You undid what the Torah, the way the Torah wants it to look. So when I saw the Reb Chaim, I didn't understand, it's very understandable what he says, but I didn't understand why the Torah would want to differentiate. So then I saw a vart from the Michas Elazar, that I think it's a drush vart that will help us understand Reb Chaim's halacha vart. Michas Elazar says, why is the Torah so makbid about the poles of the Aron being constantly connected? If you think about it, the poles were there, only when they traveled they should be able to carry the Aron. And we know they didn't travel that often. And if they did travel, they'll put the poles in and they'll travel. So the Michas Elazar explains that the poles represent the Taim Chei Torah, The Aron represents the learned Torah, the people who actually learn the Torah, the Luchas, and the poles represent the people that support Torah. And the Torah is telling us, of course Klal Yisrael has learned Torah, people who learn. Of course Klal Yisrael has Taimchei Torah, people that support Torah. But the Torah says these two people should not be viewed as two separate groups. They have to be viewed as one Klal Yisrael. Yisachar and Zvulun were brothers, they were very close brothers. They weren't just two separate Shvatim. And the Torah says, Lo Yisuru, separating the poles from the Aron, is breaking Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael is supposed to be one unified unit of Lone Day Torah and Taimchei Torah. And therefore, any type of separation, even not Derech Hashchasa, is Asar. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rami. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina asked the following question. Ksiv, betabas ha'aron yu'abadim, lo yusuru imenu. That the poles have to be in those rings around the aron, not to be moved. Ksiv, yet there's another pasuk that says, v'huva espada betabas, that you put the poles in and out. How does it work? It says, d'mar, mespakim en nishmatim. They're put in, but they're not easily removed. So the way Rashi explains, the poles were constructed in a very interesting manner. You have a stick. The two ends were wide and the rest was narrower. So that's why the poles did not easily go in and out when you put, after you put them into the rings around the aron. There's an interesting machlokes Rashi in Tosfos Shonim. If the poles were fit in a tight fit, so we're saying there's a lav if you remove the poles, they're not removable. So how can you ever be over a lav? The Torah won't tell us that you could be over a lav. That can never happen if the poles were put in such a manner. So Rashi learns, because of that question, that you're over the lav as soon as you move the poles. Even if you don't pull them out, because they can't be pulled out, just by moving them back and forth, you're already over the lav. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos Yeshanim says what the Gemara means to say is not that it's impossible. It was put in a way that should be difficult to remove, but not that it's impossible. And if therefore somebody actually went and removed it, he's over the lav. Tanya namehachi, betabas aron yabadim, yochla yezos mekom yinala remove him, tamloim vahuva espada betabas. Put them in. Even who was bad with Yochayim, they easily come in and out. Tamalomer, the tabas are in Yabadim. They should be there permanently. Hakeitzad, mispakvein neshmatim. They have this thicker on the ends and narrower in the middle. Om Rav Chama Rav Chanina, Maidik Siv. The Pirate says regarding the Atzei Shittim, which were the cedar wood from which the Mishkan was built. Atzei Shittim Oimdim, Sha'oimdim Derech Dilosan. When you use the wood, you have to put it up in the way it grows up from the ground, the top on the top and the bottom on the bottom. And actually, this Gemara is relevant La'aloch L'maisim. Because we know, on Sukkos, we do the Nanum with the Lulav. The Aloch is, even when you do Nanum with any direction, the Lulav always has to remain up. Even if you're doing the Nanum for the bottom, but the, we're mapping that the Lulav, you don't turn the Lulav upside down. Why? Because it always has to be Derech Kedilosan, the way it grows. There's an interesting machlokes by Tziyasev and Bach. The Bach says that if one makes a sukkah and the walls are made out of wood, so you should be careful that the wood should also be put up derech dilason in the way that it grows, the top on the top and the bottom on the bottom. Ask the Beis Yosef and the Bach, I don't understand. You don't have to make walls of a sukkah out of wood. A lulav you have to take. So there we could say derech dilason. The Mishkan has to be built out of the shittim. And if you want to make a sukkah not out of wood, you're allowed to. So why, if you chose to make wood, does it have to be derech dilason? Beis Yosef says it doesn't have to be derech dilason. The Bach says what it means is, you taka don't have to use wood. But the Torah is teaching us that whenever you use wood, be careful it should be done derech dilason. Davar achar, oimdim shmamidim et sipuyin. They were plated with gold, and pshat is that the gold was attached with small nails to make sure that it remained on the wood. It's actually interesting, La'aloch L'maisa, this Gemara. And I just saw a picture of a Gadol B'Yisrael with this. The halach is that the tefillin, especially the tefillin Shel Rosh, are not allowed to be covered with anything. So I saw a picture recently of a Gadol B'Yisrael that just like they have these small removable boxes on tefillin Shel Yad, he has it on tefillin Shel Rosh. I guess the reason he does it is because if chas v'shalom they bang into the wall, you can lose the ribua. The tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad have to be a perfect square. But we all know that halacha is not allowed to be covered. So how could he do it? But now we're learning that when is something considered covered? Only when it's nailed in. That cover is removable. You could take it in and on and off. That's why it's not considered covered. Continues the Gemara. Davach oimdim shem tamar ovet sivram and batel sikuyan. So there's two ways of learning this Gemara. You would think that they got rotten. The wood is rotten. The gold fell apart. Tamalayim oimdim shoimdim oil me'elolamim. They're there forever. Another pshat is, one would think that although we don't have the Mishkan, wherever it was hidden, it's not there. Says the Gemara that the power of the Mishkan and whatever koyach and whatever that brings to Klal Yisrael remains forever. We may not see it, but what it does, it brings forever. So I saw a beautiful vart. The Gemara is saying that the power of the Mishkan, even though we actually can't physically, unfortunately, see it, remains with us. Why didn't the Gemara choose to say by the Beis HaMikdash? What does the Gemara say? The Beis HaMikdash, even though also is no longer here, but its power works for us. So it's a very interesting teretz. The Mishkan was built by Moshe, Bezalel, only by Jews. The Beis HaMikdash was built by non-Jews. Shlomo HaMelech brought non-Jewish workers. Something that was built, the Kedusha V'Tahara, like the Mishkan, remains forever. Something else doesn't necessarily have that ability. The Torah in describing the big day kuhuna says, as big day asrod l'sharis b'kodesh. Says the Gemara, mole big day kuhuna l'nishtair misinem shal Yisrael sor l'palot. If not for big day kuhuna, we know sonen shal Yisrael is a euphemism, it means klai Yisrael, we wouldn't continue to exist. So the machlekes we showed him how to explain this line. Rashi explains, as we've learned so many times, that kabonis, in order for kain to offer a carbon, he has to wear the big day kuhuna. And as we're learning the tremendous power of the kabonis, so if not for the big day kuhuna, we couldn't bring kabonis. And if not for the kabonis, we cannot have such hatzlacha. Other Rishonim learned that the big day kuhuna themselves, not because they used when they do the kabonis, the big day kuhuna themselves have a tremendous ability. What's the ability? The halacha is, for example, the ksoinis is mechaper if it works for shvichas tamim. They themselves, sorid, they give us schosim. Rashmu ben Achmeni omed the bear of Shimon, Tana. Begodim shegodim oisam kibriyasim mikaleim. The begodim, the garments that were worn were woven whole, umesadim em klum, but a little was left over. That means part of it, most of it was woven, and part of it was sewn. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, we learned in a braisa, big day kahuna, and oisin oisin masa machad, ela maisa oirig, we're only allowed to weave big day kahuna, we're not allowed to sew them. Shenema, as the pasuk teaches us, masay oirig, the big day kahuna should be woven. It says the Gemara, amar baila nitzchal el beis yachalhem. It means the sleeve. That means that the begodim, let's say the shirt that was worn, the whole shirt was woven, and it was woven with tremendous ability that as it came off the weaving, as it came off the loom, it was already prepared, they didn't have to do further processing, but the sleeve wasn't woven together. The sleeve was woven separately. And where was the sewing? The sewing was when they attached the sleeve to the rest of the garment. Ketanya, Beis Yachal Big Day Kahuna, Naregas Befnei Atzmai, the sleeve is woven separately, V'nidbekes Emebeged, and then it's connected by sewing to the garment. That's the only place sewing took place in the Big Day Kahuna. Umegas, and how long was the sleeve? At Pisa Sayad, until the palm. Says the Gemara, Amr of Chava, Amr of Yehuda, Shoros Aroinus Os Betzal. In constructing the Aron HaKodesh, Betzal made three boxes. Emtsoi, the middle box, was Shalaitz, was made out of wood. It was Tisha, was 9 tefachim tall. Pnimi, the inner box, was made from Zov, and it was Shmoina, was 8 tefachim tall. And Chitzo, the outer box, was a Sora, was 10 tefachim, Umashu, and a drop. Betanya, Achar Osor Umashu, the outside box was 11, Loikasha. Hokamandama Yesh Ba'av Yatafach, Hokamandama Ein Ba'av Yatafach. So let's explain. Everybody agrees that the inner box was 8 tefachim tall. But there was a bottom to the box. How tall was the bottom? A tefach. So that's why you need that the outer box should be 9 to cover that. Now, the outer box is a machloikis, was a 10 or 11. What is that machloikis based on? How thick was the bottom of the middle box? If the bottom of the box was a tefach, so you need another tefach to cover it. It was only a mashahu, you don't need it. Hakamandomer explains the Gemara inside again. Yesh bav yitafach, that it was a tefach tall, so it needs an extra tefach. Hakamandomer, ain't bav yitafach, you don't need that tefach. Or my mashu. So if you have the 11 to cover the extra tefach, so why did the Gemara say 11 a mashu? My mashu, zer. It refers to the crown. Because Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shaloisha Zorim Hain, there are three crowns, three vessels in the base of Mikdash had crown. Shemizbeach, Vashal Arim, Vashal Shulchan. The Mizbeach and the Arim, Shal Shulchan. Shemizbeach, Zocha Arim, Vinotli. The Mizbeach is represented by Kuhuna, Davoida. That goes to the Shevet of Aaron. Shal Shulchan represents Melucha, Zocha Dovah, Vinotli. Dovah Melech received. Shal Arim, Adayim Munachu. The Arim is free for everybody. Kol Aroitz Likach Yovav Yikach. Anybody who wants can take it. Shema Tamer Pachasu. You would think that this is the least valuable. Tamalim Abim Melochim Imloichu. The kingship, the true leadership in Klal Yisrael is with the Talmid HaChachamim. So I saw a number of pshatim here. One pshat is that all of the measurements, when we look at the measurements of the Aron, they were not whole measurements. Amma v'chetzi, amma sayim v'chetzi, 2.5 amma, 1.5 amma, 9 tefachim is 1.5 amma. Why does the Torah speak in half? Because when you have something, it's a half, says the Klei Yoker, that means you haven't reached the top. Torah, nobody ever finished learning. There's always more Torah to learn. That's why the Aron is measured in that way. The Rebbeinu Yoina brings two proofs to the chshivas of Talmud Torah. He says one is, as we've been learning so many times, from all the kalim in the base of Migdash, the only keli that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Aron. Why? Because the Aron is the holiest, as we just explained. And another pshat is that we say in Halal, Sukkot from Tehillim, we say Beis Aron Baruch Hu Hashem. There's a family, Beis Aron. Then it talks about Beis Halevi, Malchus Beis David. But when it talks about Yirei Hashem, the pasuk doesn't say bias. Why? Because everybody can have a shaykhus to Torah. You don't have to come from a bias. You don't have to come from a specific family. You don't have to come from a specific shevet. Everybody. And what's the and that's pshat, the Kedusha Slavi says, beautiful pshat. He says, why do we read Rus on Shavuos? Because Rus was a geyaris. She was a convert. From this Rus came out Malchus Beis David to teach us that even from a convert, as long as she has connects herself to Torah, Yontav Shavuos, Matan Torah, then Bim Melachim Imloichu, from the Torah could come out family of Melachim, could come out family of Malchus Beis David. Says the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Rami. Rav Yochanan asked the following question. Ksiv Zor. The Torah says Zor, V'ksrin and Zir. So what is it? Zor or Zir? Zocha, says the Gemara, if somebody is worthy, Nas Lo Zir. Torah is a crown for him. Lo Zocha, Zor Himanu. It becomes strange from him. So I saw a beautiful pshat from Rabbi Yeruchim Lvovitz, was the Mira Mishgiach. He explains like this. Zocha means pure. Shem and Zay is Zoch. If someone who learns Torah is Zoch, is pure, his behavior is proper, he causes a Kiddush Hashem wherever he goes, then Zer, then the Torah is a crown. Loi Zocha, but if a person is not pure, he doesn't behave properly, then Zorah, then the Torah is just the opposite. Just, we go back a moment, we said that everybody can learn Torah. Everybody. So, there's an interesting Mirajdam, the Ramah Mepana says it. From here we see, they say, that if the Rav of a community retired or passed away, and they have to choose a successor, even though we know by melucha a child has preference, even by kahuna, even the kahuna gedola, a child has preference, they say doesn't reflect to limud haTorah. Why doesn't it reflect limud haTorah? Because here it says everybody has a right to learn, and everybody has equal share in learning. There are tshuvas that disagree. The Rashba says differently. Some Sofer has a tshuva differently. But that's what the Marajdam and the Ramam and Panos say based on this Gemara. Moreover, I saw interesting tshuva from the Shevet Alevi. It's a very bechiddush. It says like this. Let's say that somebody wrote a Sefer. He spent a lot of time working on a Sefer on a specific subject. And then somebody else goes and writes a Sefer on the same subject. But he already has the first person Sefer to use as a source book. Is he allowed to do it? Or could a first person say, I invested so much time and effort and resources in writing my Sefer, you can't just pick it up? Says the Shevet Alevi, based on this Gemara, that Torah, you can't say, is owned by anybody. Torah is for everybody to take. And therefore, you can't prevent anybody from learning Torah. He does say, however, the proper thing is that if you write a Sefer and you took material from another Sefer, you should properly quote it. That you should say, I received material and I saw this in that other Sefer. Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Ksiv Fasis Lucha Aron Eitz, and you should make a wood Aron. Ksiv Asu Aron Atzishitim. Mikan, so here it says Vasisim, you should make it for yourself. In other place it says Vasu Aron Shitim, Mikan Latam Chacham, Shibnei Ira Mitzuvan Lasis Lamalachtai. The people of the town have to support the Talmid Chachamim. There's a very famous tshuva for Rav Moshe on this subject. Rav Moshe writes the following. There's a Rambam, that the Rambam says that even though the Gemara says that it's the obligation of the people to support the Talmid HaChachamim, that are learning the Rabbonim, the Kohelim, the like, but the Rambam says it's best that a person should try to avoid needing to take. If he could manage without taking, it's preferable. Rav Moshe says that that was in those times where people were able to make do with less. He says, however, now times, if a person is not independently wealthy, if a person is Baruch Hashem independently wealthy, gevaldik. If a person is not independently wealthy, it's wrong, says Rav Moshe, to refuse for a rav to refuse a salary, for a kohen man to refuse a salary, because that will prevent him from learning, because he's going to be worried how will he make ends meet. And that's what the Gemara says, they have to support him. Says the Gemara Vayta, Amar Rava, Kol Tam Chacham, Shein Toche Kabaroi, any Tam Chacham that is inside is not like his outside, Ein Tam Chacham, should not be considered a Tam Chacham. Abayi Vitem Rabar Ula, Nikra Nisav, he's considered despicable. Shenemar, Af Ki Nisav V'Nelach, it's despicable, Ish Shoysim Mayim, Kamayim Avla, that a person drinks water. So the way the Mefarshim explained is he drinks Torah, Kamayim, the Torah is compared to Mayim, to water, and Avla, and he still does the wrong thing. So I saw from Nosson Vachfeigel, I actually saw it from the Sfasemis also. Just like the Pasuk says that Tam Chochem has to be Toichai Kabaroi, that his inside has to be like his outside, it also has to be Baroi Katoichai, his outside has to be like his inside. Tam Chochem has to be careful how he dresses and how he walks and how he talks and how people perceive him. There's a beautiful vart from the Sefer Einei Shmuel. He says like this, the Pasuk says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Darsh Rav Shimon Amsoini, L'Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim. So just like we have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to treat Talmid HaChachamim. He says, what's the commonality between a Talmid Chacham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, what are the letters that the name Hashem is made out of? Yud Kei Vav Kei. How is the letter Yud spelled? If you wanted to spell out the whole letter, it's Yud Vav Dalet. Vav and Dalet is how much? Six. Six is the same. Six, no, I'm sorry. Yud is Vav and Dalet is ten. 6 plus 4 is 10, which is equal Yud. The next letter is Hey. How do you write the word, if you wanted to let out the whole letter Hey? Hey, Hey. How would you write out Vav? Vav, Vav. Just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, all the letters that his name is made out of are equal, so to a Talmud Chacham, should be taicha kabaroi. His inside and outside should be equal. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yonason, Maidik Siv, Lomaze Mechib Yaksil Liknes Chachma, Vilev Einloi, Vilev Ayin. Person trying to learn, and he doesn't have the heart. Says the Gemara what it means is, Oilai Lam Sanaim Shatamid Chachamim, Sha'oiskim Taira, they sit and learn Taira, Vain Ben Yerushmaim, and they don't have the proper Yerushmaim. Machriz Rav Yana, Rav Yana used to make the following announcement. Chaval Adles Le Darta, woe is to a person that doesn't have a home, Vitara Ladarta Ovid. And he makes a gate for the house. The main thing is Yerushmaim. That's the house. The gate to the house is only Torah. So a person spends his life learning Torah and not having Yerushmaim, he missed the point. Says the Sfasemis, however. So you would say, if the main thing is to learn Torah, so to have Yerushmaim, so why are we learning? We should just work on Yerushmaim. Says the Sfasemis, how does a person come to Yerushmaim? By learning Torah. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Rabbanan, Mitaris Menaychu, I beg of you, Letarasi Tarti Gehenim. Don't have two Gehenims. What does that mean, two Gehenims? If a person is not really Talmud Chacham, and he acts in this world as a Talmud Chacham, he has two Gehenims. So Pashup Shad is like this. In this world, he holds himself back, because he's acting like he's a Talmud Chacham. And then when he's going to come to the Olam Emes, he won't get Olam Haba because he really wasn't a Talmud Chacham. That's one pshat. The Mashal says pshat is that the halach is, we just spoke about it the other day, that if somebody hurts someone else, he will get that person shear in Gehenim. So if this person who's acting like he's a Talmud Chacham will hurt somebody else, he'll end up with that other person shear in Gehenim. Another pshat is like this. The Gemara says tumo pshat. Whoever is greater than his next person, he has a bigger Yetzirah. So he says, if a person acts like he's a Talmud Chacham in this world, Danish Shmuel says this pshat also, he'll have a bigger Yetzirah. And because he'll have a bigger Yetzirah, but he's not really a Talmud Chacham, he'll end up with a bigger portion of Gehenna. The Satmar Rebbe says a different pshat. Rui Advaram Lamisha Amram. Satmar Rebbe says like this, the Talmud Chachamim, everybody always attacks the Rabbanim. You know how it is, the rabbis, The rabbi never does right. The Talmid Chacham never do right. That's why sometimes it's hard to be a Rav and hard to be a Talmud Chacham. So if a person acts like he's a Talmud Chacham in this world, so he has Gehenim in this world, he has to deal with the people who start up with him, and then because he really wasn't a Talmud Chacham, he'll come to Olam Hamas, he'll have Gehenim again. Says the Gemara, I'm a Yeshua ben Levi, Maidik Siv, V'zoysa Torah Sam Moshe, Zocha, if a person is Zoycha Nasa Le Sam Chayim, Loi Zocha, Nas Loi Sam Misa. The same Torah could be a medicine for life and a medicine for death. I saw a beautiful mashal in explaining the Gemara. Let's say somebody is ill, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor prescribes to him a medicine. So if he'll follow the prescription, hopefully he'll get well. What will happen if somebody will take that whole bottle of medicine and just swallow it down in one shot? He put himself into serious danger. The same with Torah. Torah has to be followed, the prescription. You have to follow the right way. If you overdo it, then if you do it the wrong thing, it can become sam misa. V'hayin the rava, the umen la, sam the chaya, the layum la, sam the misa. So the Rabbi Yashiv explains the umen la means that somebody's the word umen means a professional. What does it mean a professional? How does somebody become good at what he does? He puts his whole life and his whole heart. If somebody wants to succeed in Limud HaTorah, the Uman Law, he has to put his mind and his heart, he has to devote himself to it, then it's Samad Chaya. And if not, it's Samad Maisa. But the Tosfos Yeshanim asked the question, we all know, it says in Pirkei Avos, that a person should learn Torah Shalai Lashma, Shematach Shalai Lashma, Baal Lashma. So here we see that if you don't do it right, it's a Samad Maisa. So the Tosfos Yeshanim answers, it matters what Shalai Lashma is. Every person is learning Torah Shalai Lashma because he has Yerushmaim. He doesn't really have an appreciation, but he knows that a Yid has to learn. Well, a person learns Torah because he wants people should respect him. That's fine. But if a person learns Torah because he wants Lakanter, to use the Torah as a whip to hurt other people, don't learn Torah. Amar Shmuel ben Nachmani Ber, Rabbi Yonatan Rami, Sip Kudah Hashem Yishar Mesamchei Leif, Torah makes us happy. B'ksiv, imrus Hashem trufa. Trufa means that it purifies us. How is something purified? By putting it into fire. Zacha, mesam chasai. If a person is zaycha, it makes him happy. Lai zacha tzafasa. Rishlak sham gufa de kro nafka. We can learn in the pasuk itself. Zacha tzafasa l'chayim. If he's zaycha, the Torah purifies him that he has a wonderful life. Lai zacha tzafasa l'misa. Yes, Hashem Torah medes lahad. Amrav chayina, zel lai mit Torah b'tahara. Lamei learns Torah in a pure state. Mahi noisi isha zakach loy matira. A person should get married and then learn Torah, because when a person is married, he won't have any immoral thoughts. This is the reason why the Pirkei Avos says that a person should get married young, because when a person is young, he gets married and then he learns, he won't have any immoral thoughts. It says in pasuk regarding the Kohen Gadol, for who isha bepsuleh yikach. The gematria of the word vahu is 18. For who isha? When should he take a wife? When he's 18. And the Paiskim would say, again, I'm not paskening, la'loch l'maisa, that even if a person is makbid, let's say, that the chassan shouldn't have the same name as his father-in-law, once he's 20 years old, shouldn't wait. Just take any kala that you could get, because you should learn Torah b'tahara. Again, I'm not paskening here. Arav chiver abba, namanihi l'hoed b'lamda. The Torah says testimony to the people that learn it properly. What does that mean? So some say that it gives testimony to the people that learn it, that people who learn, how do you know if somebody's learning Torah properly? We're all sitting and learning. Who's the right way? If you see that a person acts properly, you could see that he's learning properly. Others say if you see a person has the schus that he passed in shilas, la loch lemaisa properly, it's a right that he's learning Torah properly. And a third pshat that I saw is a very interesting pshat. Tamid Acham, sit and learn. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They're not supposed to know what's going on in the world. They're in the yeshiva. Yet a person who learns Torah, you see, is smart, not only in Divrei Torah. He's generally smart. If you see a person as smart, that means he's learning Torah properly. Maaser Oikim, the Torah in describing the begotten says Maaser Oikim. Sometimes, and sometimes the Torah says Maaser Chayshiv. Aram B'lazer, Shroikim B'makam Chayshivim. First they made a design, and then they sewed. Tanam Shmeid Rav Nechemya. Roikim is Maasei Machit. Sewing, Roikim means that they used a needle. Lefikach parts of Echot, so it only had one design. Chayshiv Maasei Erg means weaving. Lefikach Shnei Patsufas, because they weaved on both sides, so they could have two different designs on two sides. I saw a wonderful pshat. Roikim means to carry out your plan. Chayshiv means to think. If a person wants to be successful, as Reichman and Makum Shechayshvin. First he should plan out what he wants to do, and then Reichman carry out his plans. Ellie, I saw you liked that word about the rabbis.